Good morning and welcome to the Independent Presbyterian Church. If you're a visitor with us, there are directions in the bulletin about how to contact us and let us know who you are and open the opportunity for us to be able to get to know you a little bit better. I have a number of announcements to review. One is that we will have our evening service at the regular time of 5:30. We'll start singing carols informally at about 5:15. Come and join us for that. There'll be no meal following the service this Sunday night or next Sunday night either. I need to make an announcement about Christmas Eve. We will be having two Christmas Eve services, one at 5 o'clock, at which there will be a nursery, and then the second at 7 o'clock. In order to optimize our space, we are going to reserve pews for the larger parties. So that means in this center section and these side sections, we are asking for reservations for everyone who's planning to attend. But then for the larger families, we're going to put them into these larger pews. Again, not to show favoritism to one group over another or any individuals over any others, but this is strictly so that we can make the most of our space. Last year, we had 800 people for Christmas Eve. If we divide that in half, that's 400 for each service. That's a little bit more than we can accommodate and still social distance. And so, in order to make the most of our space, this is the way we're going to handle it. So those of you who are bringing larger groups, we will be contacting you by an email, giving you directions to come and to check in with the deacons, and they will seat you at the pew that has been reserved for your group. This is our 32nd annual service of lessons and carols. And it is quite a bit different than what we have enjoyed in previous years. There's going to be fewer lessons on the one hand, and there's going to be a longer sermon on the other hand. It's going to be more like a normal Sunday morning sermon. So there will be fewer lessons, and yet it's going to be a longer service than we regularly have on a Sunday morning. So keep those differences in mind. All of this is being driven by the need to maintain social distancing because of the pandemic. And so we're doing all that we can to have normal services, but to do them in a way that is different than the norm. With that in mind, I'm going to ask you now to join with me in prayer as we begin our service here together. Our Father in heaven, you are a God who is compassionate and gracious. You are slow to anger, and you abound in loving kindness and truth. You keep loving kindness for thousands. You forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. You are the Creator God. You are the God who sustains all things. You are the God who governs all things. You are the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. You are the God who is love. And you've demonstrated your love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son to be born of a woman and born under the law that he might redeem us. You sent your beloved Son, who was the Word, who was made flesh and dwelt among us and whose glory was beheld. And, O Lord, in the season in which we review such great mysteries, we sense our own unworthiness, even to gather the crumbs from under your table, even to touch the hem of your garment, even that you should come and be present with us here under the roof of our house of worship. We are unworthy of the least of all of your mercies, because we are sinners by nature and according to record, by inclination and demonstration, by disposition and desire. We are sinners and have sinned and have offended you, and we acknowledge our guilt. So we cling, O Lord, to the promise that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we give thanks, O Lord, that in Christ Jesus we have the forgiveness of our sins, that you have given us new hearts, that you have placed your Spirit within us, and you have supplied all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, granting us a peace that passes understanding and a joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. And, O Lord, we pray for our sanctification. We pray that we would characteristically practice moral purity and sacrificial love. We pray that we would be holy as you are holy, that we would love one another and love our neighbors and love even our enemies. We pray for the church that we would be faithful and fruitful in our ministry. We pray for the sick, O great physician, that you will heal all those who are afflicted in body and soul. We pray for our nation, for its renewal, for national revival. And we pray for the world. All over the world, your word will be read and proclaimed this morning. We pray that there might be a multitude that would be saved and sanctified through the ministry of your gospel word. And, O Lord, may that word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path as it is read and proclaimed. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray that prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The service will now proceed undirected. You may follow along in your bulletins.
The first lesson, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. God announces in the garden that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Thou hast eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest never eat. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thanks be to God.
second lesson from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6 to 7. And here we see Isaiah prophesies a Messiah who will sit on David's throne. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thanks be to God. Lesson from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. Here Micah prophesies a Messiah to come forth from Bethlehem, who shall shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Thanks be to God.
fourth lesson. Christ is born, and the angels announce his birth to the shepherds. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they had heard, all they that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thanks be to God.
The fifth lesson, John 1, 1 to 14. The Apostle John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.